Thank you for worshiping this morning and being a part of this wonderful worship service. Well, before we do give the time to Brother Jeremy, Pastor Jeremy and the message today, I want to just give an introduction here to this special day. As the lights are turned off, Brother Chevy, we're going to go ahead and give a time here to this video as it reminds us of the privilege that we have of a good father.
After every catch he makes on the baseball field, he'll look to you to make sure you're smiling. When her friends make the fourth grade pep squad, but she doesn't, she'll look to you for comfort. When she feels misunderstood by her brothers and sisters, she'll look to you for understanding. They'll never stop looking to you. When she walks down the aisle on that magical day, she'll look to you to bring peace to her anxious heart. When he plays his first concert with his new band, he'll look to your face in the crowd. When she makes choices that will break your heart, she'll eventually look to you for forgiveness and restoration. They'll never stop looking to you. And you can never stop. You must never stop looking to God. They don't need you to be perfect. They just need you to be authentic and offer them Jesus anyway. They need you to try your very best. And even if you fail, they need to see you rise up again. They need you to follow hard after Jesus as best you can, because they will never stop looking to you. Son, I'm writing these words to you because you are, and always have been, the legacy I've wanted to leave. And now, it's your moment. It's your chance to leave a legacy of loving Jesus with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. They'll never stop looking to you, and that's the way God created it to be.
And every time we do those intro videos, I just feel like we should do an altar call after those videos. They're such a challenge and they're such a great reminder of what it means to be a father, especially on a day like today, on Father's Day, where we honor the fathers that are here with us, and those are around, of course, our nation as we celebrate fatherhood. Well, this morning, it is our privilege to have Brother Ray Hansen here with us. In the second service and in the first service on our Spanish side, I tuned in a little bit to the message, and Pastor was preaching on Abraham from the book of Genesis. And as I was listening to the message, all I could think of was, today in our English service, I feel like Brother Ray Hansen is a modern-day Abraham. He was a man that God called later in his life, I want to say in his late 40s or early 50s, to go to the mission field. He's been one of our missionaries for well over 20 years, and he's been a man that God has used in a tremendous way. I love the fact that before God called him to the mission field, he was working in a Christian school, and if you've ever heard me interact with him, you'll know that I always call him Coach Hansen, because he was the basketball coach at Valley Christian School for a few years before going into into Reynosa and starting Rio Bravo Ministries. And it's a ministry for the orphans there in the city of Reynosa. And Coach had started, I want to say, with four children, and since God has called them to the mission field, he's had many more children after that. He has been a man that has displayed what it really truly means to be a father, and he's been an example of what it really means to follow God. And so this morning, I know he's going to have something that's going to be a help to us. I hope that you'll give him your undivided attention. And Brother Ray Hansen, if you would come and share with us what the Lord has laid on your heart on this Father's Day for us. If you would, let's go ahead and welcome Brother Ray Hansen this morning.
you. Good morning. What a wonderful day. Opportunity to... Father's Day. I tell you, when we first came to the Valley, the Mendoza family was the first family that befriended us. Annette thought that we were crazy. And she's probably right. And what a great example Noé and Annette have been. We're going to recognize Noé, but we know that without Annette, it wouldn't have amounted to much. Four wonderful kids who I've adopted as my own. They've adopted my daughter, Lucy, as part of their family. So we're glad to be here. And the other thing I'm glad to be here for, the last time I spoke here, I spoke in Spanish. And that liked to kill me. I started to learn Spanish when I was 50. And I was exhausted, and I was leaving, walking down the aisle. And some old lady came up and said, "You know, you used that one word the wrong way. It was supposed to be this, and you said that." And I said, "Only one?" So I felt successful, even though exhausted. Father's Day 1972 was the day I accepted Christ. My oldest son at that time brought me to a Baptist Sunday school to receive a Father's Day prize. It was the first time I heard the gospel, and I accepted Jesus Christ that day. My life verse is 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new." That happened. I got involved in Christian education, started taking kids on mission trips, and I took one trip too many, and God called me, and we sold everything and came. Crazy. Crazy. I'd like to give all of you an invitation. Come and see what God can do even with a crazy man. This morning, I want to speak to you. Boy, that was a real nice, soft message about fathers. Warm. I'm not going to be real warm. Not my nature. Psalm 11:3. Says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" We have been experiencing in the last few years, and especially this last year, horrific change in our country. This is not going to be political, but to ignore the relevancy of what's going on outside of our church and not to be aware of it would be irresponsible. When you preach or when you read the Bible is, and the preaching is for instruction, for doctrine, for reproof, sometimes for a kick in the backside, motivation. His word will not return void. I know God knows what's going on. And I know He's got a plan. But because He has a plan, doesn't give us an excuse to ignore His plan for us. And I want to try to explain. And I'm going to set the stage as to what's happening. And this is just going to be the introduction to the message for the fathers. How many fathers here? Identify yourself now because it's going to be required to get out of here. Okay? The foundations of America are being destroyed. And you can blame a political party. You can blame the anarchist. But the real attack is satanic. And it's not new. It's always been there. It seems so big to us right now because we're in it. And it's so widespread. The attacks on who's a man and who's a lady. I think God settled that in the first chapter. It's not a debate. The attack on our language and that all of our speak has got to be gender neutral. You can't call a fireman a fireman. You can't call a policeman a policeman. A police person. In sports, all we need, a boy to say, hey, I'm a girl, I'm going to get in that track meet. And we say, okay. A right of assembly, they take that away from us. A right of free speech. America's being attacked. I know the whole world is being attacked, but America is being attacked more violently than any other country. Do you know why? There have been more immigrants to America than the rest of the world combined. America has sent more missionaries to foreign countries than the whole rest of the world combined. This is supposed to be the hotbed of Christianity. And we look on the television and we see these the destruction of our cities. We've taken over a city. It would be hard to believe that it's a Christian nation. But it's not new. Crime and violence. God's dealt with it before. He dealt with it in the garden. Adam and Eve left and they created a mess. God says, oh, man, I regret that I made them. Woo! So we're going to do this all over again. And he flooded the place. Then Noah and his family settled. And he said, God's gave the exact same command to them. Go, multiply, conquer the earth. And they said, now, God, you know, we want you to come here. We're going to build this tower, the Tower of Babel. You come here, or we'll go up here. But none of this other stuff. We don't want it that way. And God says, okay. And God disinherited them. Cast them out. Confused the languages. I don't know why he had a confused mind, but he did. Very next chapter, God calls Abraham. Abraham, the leader of Israel. Father of the faith. God says, we're going to have a nation of priests. That's going to solve the problem. And the Old Testament, from the first page to the last page, after Abraham, is nothing but war. Pestilence. A lot of great stories. A lot of great messages. But war. War and conflict aren't new to God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 says, think not that I come to bring peace. I come to bring a sword. We are to be the divide. The sword is not an offensive weapon for us. It's a defensive weapon for fathers. Foundations have always been attacked. The foundations be destroyed. What can the righteous do? Because we're seeing this firsthand. It's alarming. We're looking at that on television. We're saying, how can that happen here? How can they go and burn a police station and the police run away? How can they take over a city and the police run away and the people in authority do nothing? What can the righteous do? You know what was shocking to me? And I don't know about you, but I know Jason and me were sharing this. The anger for what was happening in our country was overwhelming until I started to understand. What surprised me is how easy it was. How easy it was for us to lay down and walk away. I don't know how easy it was for us to accept the fact that a boy can participate in a track meet with a girl just because he said so. If I was the father of that girl in that race, there would be a different kind of race. And our fathers just say, oh, that's okay. That's all right. All that evil needs to succeed is for good people to do nothing. And we accept this. And we keep on accepting and accepting and accepting. And the question comes to me, where are the dads? Where are the fathers? Where's the fight? God, out of His love for us, gave us a free will. Otherwise, we'd be a bunch of robots. But I think we're pretty much acting like a bunch of robots right now. Wear a mask. Step in line. 5 feet? No, 6 feet. 10 feet? 24 feet? Whatever you say. Can I go over here? Can I go here? What is it? Can I wear a blue mask today or a red mask? No resistance. The anarchy. No resistance. All that evil needs is for good people to do nothing. How sheepish we have become. We have lost our identity. God created us man and woman. Let me ask a question. It's a serious question. Rarely preach time. And I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. Are sins of commission the same or worse than the sins of omission? When we know to do right and do nothing, is that a sin? Absolutamente sí. And we stand there and nothing happens. You got the idea where we're going? All right, now let me get to the fathers, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 16. One small verse. Paul has come and he's concluding his trip to Corinth. Corinth was a nasty place. And he's given instructions. It was a very immoral place. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, talking to the men. It says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong." Simple instructions. What's he saying? Watch ye. Be aware of what's happening. Know what's happening in the school system. Know what's happening in the curriculum. Know how to protect your children. That's your job. Watch. Don't put your head in your work so much that you don't see what's going on. You got one job. Protect your family. Be alert. Protect your family from a vain philosophy. There's such a wicked philosophy that's encompassed our country. You need to know it, and you need to defend it, and you need to take your stand. Second instruction says, stand fast. Don't give an inch on what's important. Compromise? No. On your family? No. Don't give an inch. Be the rock. Be the foundation. When you build a house, the first thing you build, and you better build it well, is you build the foundation. That's you, men. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And this is an old English phrase. In the King James, it says, quit you like men. What does that mean? Let's put it in modern day language. Be the man. Be the man. The corruption's coming from outside, trying to influence us and our family. We need people to stand. Be the man. Take your spot. Defend. Men aren't even being attacked anymore. We're called, men are guilty of male toxicity. We ain't toxic enough. We have given over our responsibilities to all kinds of things. No one's going to give an account to God for your family but you. You're the president of that corporation. You can't share that with the government. Romans chapter 12. What can we do? What can the righteous do? Only one solution. Well, besides Christ and salvation. But there's an awful lot of Christian men that still do nothing. That just take it. It says, be not overcome of evil. Is evil trying to overcome this place? Absolutely. It says, but overcome evil with good. With good. It says, be an overcomer. One of the messages I like to preach more than any, just about any other, except sharing the God's testimony in my life, is that of an overcomer. We're just going to touch two or three little areas of it. Revelation chapter 2 says, the benefits of being an overcomer. It says that we're going to get to eat the hidden manna with God. Promise only made to the overcomer. It says that overcomers will be given power over nations. Boy, I know a lot that I'd like to have some power over. It says, an overcomer's name is going to be confessed to God the Father. Can you imagine? Hey, you ought to see this guy. He's one of the men. He's the man. Like to hear a good testimony about yourself? an overcomer is going to sit down with my Father in His throne. I want to tell you the best one is the one I'm going to share last. Revelation chapter 21. You think I need a new Bible? He that overcometh. What does that mean? Be a man. Stand. Shall inherit all things. What does that include? All things. Pretty inclusive. And this is what he says. This is the best Father's Day of all Father's Day. Is it going to be this day that's in the future? We're celebrating Father's Day today here. But the real Father's Day is coming. It's coming. And that's going to make this look like nothing. And it says, and I will be his God. And he shall be my son. Right now we know God as Elohim, the spirit that we can't see. But there, we're going to see our Father, and he is going to call us his son, the best father-son relationship that there ever could be. I know a lot of great fathers, but we're not going to know a great father until we're there in that time with our Heavenly Father. What a time to look forward to. But who's it for? Overcomers. What a Father's Day that's going to be. Father, we need to understand that we've got the best title in the world. You can call somebody a president. You can call them a doctor. You can call them a lawyer. You can call them a teacher. The most important title that there is Father. Papa. Daddy. Mi padre. We need to understand that. We gotta take the reins, man. We got to be the man. What a Father's Day. You have the highest title a man can have. Let's use our title. Let's use our power. Let's use our authority. Let's be the resistance to the evil. Let's overcome evil with good. Your camp is good. The ministry is good. Resisting evil is good. Not an inch. Get out of my life. I'm not giving in. Take your life. Okay. Because I got a date with a real Father. And it's in the future. God bless you. Have a great Father's Day. Be strong. Be the man that God wants you to be. God bless you. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Father, we thank you that you're going to be one day that we're going to be able to see you in the flesh. That one day we're going to sit down at a table with you. And you're going to call us your son. Now, Father, I just pray, God, that the Holy Spirit of God will do what he's supposed to do, and that men will be receptive, and we'll start drawing the line, start to take our stand, that we might strengthen the foundations that you meant for us to be. And we'll give you the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Message. It was a timely message. It's what we needed this morning. I don't know if this was maybe just the people I'm following on, or they come up on my feed sometimes on Facebook, but I don't know if anybody else has seen this recently, this recommitting. You know, I want to recommit myself to racial equality. I mean, you've seen that. I don't know if anyone else has seen that. But you know, this morning, as he was giving us God's message, I just wrote down in my notes, I think what we really need, especially as fathers, is just to recommit ourselves to God. I wrote down what he shared. I put, I recommit to protect my family. I recommit to be strong and protect my faith. I recommit to be an overcomer. Man, if our world could recommit themselves to do that, it would be amazing how fast this racial inequality can disappear. And some of the crisis that we're facing as a nation, it'll disappear. If we just recommit to the right things, to the right things. Thank you so much, Brother Hansen, for that message and a great reminder of what we need to do as fathers, as Christians today. Well, before we're dismissed, I just want to give a couple announcements. I know Brother John already shared this, but be praying for the Shufelt family. Brother Dave Shufelt went home to be with the Lord yesterday. And to talk about another man that was just a faithful man. I know he was in his 80s. I'm not sure what. I don't know if he was 83 or 84, somewhere like that. But, you know, he was here for more than 10 years, so all of his 70s, I know he was pretty much here in our church, and he was active. He was teaching. He was a missionary here in our area. In fact, he was the one that invited me to get into the Evans Juvenile Center. He would go there every week. And, in fact, this last Monday, one of the young men that he had been sharing the gospel with, who accepted Christ, his name was Ezekiel Mendoza, called the church, and he was just wanted to thank the church for sending him some material. And was asking about Brother Shufelt, and I said, "We'll keep praying for him. He's still battling." Of course, I didn't know that he would be called home to the Lord yesterday, but it was just a testament to me of a man that was just being faithful and that wanted to finish his race of life strong. He wanted to finish just serving God, and I can't help but think, man, I'm 36. I hope if I get to 86 that I'll still have that heart to serve God. And he just left an amazing testimony. His wife played, as John said, for many years as our pianist. And just pray for her, pray for their family, their children. I don't know how many will be. They all live up in Michigan. I don't know how many will be able to come down for the funeral this week. And please be just stay tuned with our Facebook, the church Facebook. We'll be putting in when the funeral is going to be held. She didn't know, obviously, yet. As of yesterday, but throughout this week we'll be announcing that. So please stay tuned and be praying for her, for the family, as that God would comfort them during this time. The other prayer request I just want to mention this morning, an announcement, is Brother Ray Shroud will be traveling back to Iowa. I guess tomorrow is when he'll be traveling. He'll be driving back, and Brother Ray's a man that came to our church, I don't know, maybe 3-4 years ago or so, and heard the gospel, gave his life to Christ, got baptized a couple years ago as well, and one that we love. My children call him Grandpa Ray, and we love spending time with him. And so if you would, church family, as he's traveling back, be praying for him that he gets back to Iowa safely and that God would protect him throughout the summer as he goes, and then that God would bring him back safely in November as he comes and spends the winter time and some of the spring here with us. So be praying for him if you would on that. Also, my last announcement is that as we celebrate Father's Day today, we're going to be exiting through the gray doors back here. And as you exit on the right, you'll see a little building that we call the Oasis, where we're going to have a free drink and some free snacks, not just for the fathers, but for everyone. So please go by, get your snacks. And then if you'll follow the sidewalk going up that way, and then you'll see another set of glass doors in the back of our building. Go through those glass doors, and in room 3 in the youth room, we have a picture area, and we'd love for you to take a picture as a family celebrating Father's Day. It's a themed picture background of a fishing boat and pond or something, and if you're wondering why we're all dressed as fishermen today, it's because we are celebrating Father's Day as fishermen, and I really like this. I kind of feel like every Sunday should be Fisherman Sunday, right? I hope you've enjoyed your Father's Day. And so please go by with your family after you get your snacks, take some pictures. And then, of course, after that, you can exit to the parking lot through the other back glass doors as well. All right. Once again, thank you so much for being here. Why don't we stand and have a word of prayer? And then after the word of prayer, we will be dismissed. And Brother Hansen, if you would, maybe you could stand by the doors back here, the gray doors, and that way at least we'll get a moment to get to thank you for the message and for speaking as well. Yes, thank you, Brother Jay. Don't forget, if you've not registered your kids or teenagers for camp, camp is only 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away, 2 weeks away. Oh, my goodness, 2 weeks away. So if you haven't done that, please do that. It's going to be such a fun, exciting week. And so please, if you've not registered, please register. If you have any questions about that or how to do that, feel free to call the church. You can go to lomadevida.org, lomadevida.org, to go ahead and register your kids. And so for you that are streaming, you could even go look it up right now. You can just click off or click another tab on your computer or tablet and start registering your kids and get ready for the camp season for this year. All right. All right, let's go and have a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for just a wonderful time here in your house. Thank you for the fact that what we celebrate today is such a wonderful thing, Father's Day. But Father, along with being a father, there's a lot of responsibility that you have laid on our shoulders. And as we are reminded about that this morning in the message, I pray that we would not just be hearers of your word, that we wouldn't just understand what your word is saying and what it means, but Father, that we would live it out. As the question was being asked there in Psalms 11, what can the righteous do? Father, there's plenty for us to do. Oh, Father, I pray that we would commit ourselves to now living out what we can do. I pray that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we would not be overcome by evil, Father, that we would overcome evil with good. I pray that you bless every family that is here, every family that's tuning in through the live stream. I pray that you would bless them and protect them and be with us throughout this week. Help us to draw closer to you as we go throughout this week. And I ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. All right, we are dismissed, and we'll start with this section and then this section, this section. Go on by to the Oasis, pick up your snacks, and take away the pictures.